right. Well, welcome, everyone. And welcome seekers of the extraordinary and those unafraid to explore the mysteries that lie beyond our reality. We have a treat for you today. We are collaborating with See You on the Other Side podcast. So today it's me and Molly. What's up?
Hello.
And then we have Christine and Leah, and we are gonna talk about magic mushrooms and psychedelics, and we're gonna talk about healing, and we're gonna talk about changing our lives for the better. And we're so excited to have you here for this conversation. So, yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, we are pumped to be here
for having us.
Yes,
yeah. Sprinkle a little religious trauma in there. Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yep. And this is also going to be released on your platform. So if you want to introduce the episode so your listeners aren't totally confused that you now have two new hosts,
right?
Who is this person speaking?
Who is Molly and Rachel? Who is Molly and Rachel? How do you guys like introduce who you are in this podcast space and what your podcast is about?
We literally stumble over our words.
Same.
We're cheers to leaving. Yes. And we're cheers to leaving religion, essentially, and religious trauma and the confinements of that. Yes. Cult cousins.
Wait, you guys are actually cousins, aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
By marriage. Right. Yeah.
That's right.
She married, right. Rachel married my first cousin, and I didn't know we were cult cousins until, like, I don't know when it was, like 2 or 3 years ago, whenever she started the podcast. I was like, wait, what?
You're like, yeah. You have religious trauma?
Me too.
And then you're like, wait, and we're related, kind of?
And we're related.
Yeah. So Thanksgiving, that first Thanksgiving we did was like kind of awkward because we were looking at each other and I was like, so you got a podcast? She was like, yeah, don't talk about it. I was like, yeah, okay.
Shut up. Like nudging you. Like
yeah. Because the whole side of your side, Molly, is still very Christian. So it's like,
but, you know,
not something we want to wave the flag on unless we absolutely have to. It's not good Thanksgiving conversation.
No. Makes for very awkward silences. But
so do they know?
Now they do.
Okay.
They do
know. And what
the story is...
Well, I don't think everyone knows.
No, not everybody knows. So the story is my parents knew about the podcast forever ago before I joined the podcast because my younger siblings were listening to it and they told my mom and dad, did you know that Rachel has a podcast where she's talking about purity culture and she's talking about leaving the church? And my parents were like, oh, that's so interesting. That was their reaction to it, right? And then I joined the podcast and I was like, oh yeah, I joined this podcast that Rachel has that you know about. And they were like, oh, okay. Once again, no reaction. My parents are just like, our kids are doing weird shit. We don't comment on it anymore.
Wow.
And then they, like 2 years later, they have this little like Zoom get together with all the relatives. And my dad is just like, did you guys know that Rachel and Molly have a podcast?
I wonder if they've listened.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think my dad wants to experience shame like that.
Well, and I feel like the boomer generation doesn't really listen to podcasts. If they do, I feel like it's more of a rarity.
They probably don't know how.
They don't know how to find it. They're not really sure what it is. You know, I'm not super worried about that generation. And also, like, making a point not to tell them the name.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we don't... Yeah, what's your podcast name? I don't remember. I don't know what it's called.
Don't worry about it.
Well, and they probably wouldn't understand to, like, they could search your name. Sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry.
Well, they're listening to this. We don't use our last names, though.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Yeah.
I don't think we do in any public platform. I don't think.
No.
Interesting. Anyway.
We try to be incognito. I fail at it daily, but it's okay.
Yeah. I think if Christians are going to listen to this, they're listening with the intention of being judgmental and wanting to question you about your beliefs and faith versus trying to understand and trying to learn. So there's really just no point for me to have them listen to it unless they're going to come in with like an open mind. And most of them aren't. So it's like, this isn't for you. You wouldn't listen to a podcast that was about something you weren't interested in, right? So this isn't for you. That's fine. Yeah. Move on.
Well, also like in business 101, the first thing you learn is your customers are not your friends. And, you know, we've all learned this with social media. You try to open a business, you try to get all your friends to support your business. Nobody is supporting. And it's like, at the end of the day, our best listeners don't know us from anyone. Like they found us randomly. They found us because a friend recommended it. And so we have, you know, our listenership is not built off of people we know. And I like it that way.
Yeah.
Prefer it that way.
Because it's people who relate to you and that's how they found you.
Yeah. It's chosen family, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's a good time.
Yeah, exactly. So on that note, switching back to kind of from our side, would you guys mind giving like just like a very tiny bit of background on like how you like what led you to explore psychedelics as a means of healing your trauma? And I know your listeners probably know your stories a little bit, but for our sake and for our listeners' sake, if you wouldn't mind, you don't have to spend a ton of time on it, but
yeah. Well, and I think sometimes we have listeners come in new, not from the beginning.
This could be the very first episode they listen to.
So I feel like it's always me going first, but because that's how it happened in real life.
You took the dive.
I took the dive first, and it was, you know, I'll try to keep this very short, but it was during 2020 when my business had shut down and my marriage was on the rocks and I didn't know what I was doing with my life and I didn't know who I was. And, I was desperate. And out of that desperation came like little signs and synchronicities pointing me into this direction. And I took it as a lifeline. A friend guided people on these journeys. I had never even heard of mushrooms being used as like a healing modality before I met her. And what's interesting though, is like, I used to have friends who did mushrooms all the time, but never like this. And I think there's a difference. They did like them recreationally. Intention. They did them for fun. They did them to get fucked up. And I was always afraid to do them. But the minute someone came to me with different information and information that piqued my interest, like, oh, this can help with anxiety and depression and healing, sign me up, please. Like no one told me that part about this. Like I just thought people were doing it to get fucked up and hear sounds and, or, you know, hear colors and see sounds.
Just trip balls.
Yeah. Like I just thought people wanted to trip balls and I didn't want to do that. So yeah, I took the dive first, June of 2020. I did like a very large, what we call in this space, a heroic dose. It was 5 grams. And I don't recommend someone do that.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. That's a lot.
Leah, I microdosed for almost 6 months before I did a heroic dose. Like, bravo. Cause that's intense.
I don't want to say it was a brave thing to do. It was a desperate thing to do. And it wasn't wrong, because it's what I needed and I don't regret doing it that way. But now I go into these journeys much, much, much more prepared and with much, much more intention. So there is a difference between doing it to get fucked up and doing it to have a purpose behind it. So yeah, the 5 grams, Terrence McKenna coined the heroic journey. And he often says like, sometimes it's not doing too many mushrooms that give you the bad trips. It's in doing too little, because if you take too little, you're going to fight the experience. But if you take too much, there's no fucking way you can fight it. Like right. You're going to be thrown into like the depths of your hell, you know, and I'm making it sound really terrible right now. I am not.
You are not talking this up at all.
No, I am not. And it was terrifying. Yes. Yeah, I'm not a salesperson.
Christine
knows this. So I went into this prepared with a guide and we worked on intention beforehand and we worked our way up to it. And yeah, it was really fucking hard because I had never in my life been able to surrender anything. I was a control freak. I needed to control the way my life looked, the way people perceived it, the way they perceived me. If someone had a problem with me, I had such an issue with being able to control the narrative. So being able to like let go into myself was a huge lesson for me. So while it was difficult in the peak of my experience, like within a couple of hours, like I was in the most blissful, peaceful time I have ever had in my entire life. Like it was like I needed to learn how to let go, which was literally my intention going in, was to learn to let go. But my intention going in was not to let go of those things. It was like, I need to let go of this pain. I need to let go of this trauma. I need to let go of this stuff that I'm holding on to. I never meant to like let go of the control I had. It's just how it happened. And something that Christine and I always say, and a lot of people in this space say, is like the medicine will give you what you need, not necessarily what you want when taken with respect. And a lot of times I think people go into this and they're not doing it with respect and they're not doing it with intention and they're not doing with any knowledge or research behind it. They're just going in to get fucked up and the medicine will bite you back. So there's that. Anyway, so that was like 3 years ago and my life has just been like insanely transformed since then. And it has been a lot of ups and a lot of downs and they were all very necessary. It's been a lot of unlearning and it was like a veil was lifted and I was able to move through life differently. Instead of being a victim of circumstance, instead of being a victim to my situations, I was able to really, really learn how to take control of my life, take control of myself. And I've been on this path of like healing for 3 years that I don't think would have been possible had it not been for that first journey. Mm-hmm. So that's my story.
That was good.
That was good. Shorten it down.
That was a much better sales pitch than what you had going on.
I'm like, you gotta wait till the end. Wait till the end.
You tied it with a bow at the end. So that was good. That was good.
No one sound pretty.
Yeah. Okay, good.
For me, I've known Leah for a minute now. We've known each other for almost a decade. I used to go to the salon that she owned and we would mutually talk about how much we fucking hated being business owners and how miserable we were and how, you know, we struggled with boundaries and people pleasing and, but we continued to stay in it. Anyways, COVID happened and before COVID happened, I started to get sick. And then when COVID happened, that added stress made how I felt much, much worse. I was breaking out in rashes. I was struggling to just get up and get out of bed. I would go to doctors and doctors would just give me, you know, an antibiotic and then send me on I struggled with UTIs, chronic UTIs, and would send me on my way. And a day or two later, I'd get another UTI and then they'd treat it with another antibiotic. And I just, nothing was getting better and no hate on Western medicine, but they weren't getting to the root issue. And anyways, I came to the realization that what I was doing for my career was not serving me anymore. And so I chose to close my business down as well. And it felt like a huge weight lifted off my shoulders, but also I had this depression, like, what the fuck is my purpose? What am I going to do with my life? And also, I just felt like a complete failure. And luckily, Leah and I, she used to come to my gym, but we hadn't seen each other because of COVID. And luckily, I won a jewelry giveaway of Leah's. And so her and I met up for lunch. And when I saw her, I'm like, bitch, you look so good. And not from just like an aesthetic way, but there was just this inner peace and glow to her. She just seemed different. And so I was like, what are you doing? And she said, mushrooms. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I also had never
done mushrooms, had heard anything about it. No one had ever presented an argument to me either about why this could be so healing. And so when she presented her story and how healing it was for her, the fact that her husband was sober and their relationship had improved so much because of psychedelics and mushrooms, I was like, wait a fucking second. Okay. And I also, like Leah, was like, fuck it. Let's do 5 grams.
YOLO.
YOLO. So I don't know if you know any, you guys know anything about human design, but we are both 3 fives. We are experimenters. So if somebody presents good enough of a case to me, of how something can heal me, I'd literally rip my fucking arm off right now if I felt like that was going to bring more peace into my life. And Lee and I had a lot of childhood trauma. So anyways, I decided to jump right in, you know, and I watched documentaries, listened to podcasts, did my own research, but went right in also to 5 grams. And I also had the intention to let go. And mine was more so, I grew up with a lot of abuse, and mine was to let go of anger and resentment and hatred and shame. And, I did have a challenging experiment or experience, but once I just surrendered, the experience was actually incredibly beautiful and very, very healing. And it was the thing that where I realized how powerful I was and that I was the medicine. The mushrooms just showed me the shit that I needed to change and work on. But after I did it, I was like, holy shit, why isn't anybody talking about this? Like, why isn't this a form of treatment?
Because of why capitalism?
Right. I know. But why? There are so many people who could really benefit from this lifeline, like how Lee and I benefited from it. So why don't we talk about this? And that's where Lee and I got together and we're like, you want to start a podcast?
Yes. You were like, we should do a podcast about this. And I'm like, bitch, if you only knew, because I've been trying to do a podcast about this, but I couldn't do it alone.
And what's interesting is I wanted to do a podcast, but I didn't know what I wanted to talk about. I just knew that I wanted to speak my own mind and my opinions and do something where I could just be myself freely. And then I did mushrooms. I'm like,
this is it.
Holy shit. This is it.
So that's what our podcast is about.
That's what our podcast. So here we are.
Come full circle.
But I also feel like we talk a lot more than just about mushrooms and psychedelics. Yeah. Like it's kind of been a journey of healing for us, just having guests on who specialize in other healing modalities and hearing other people's stories with different types of medicine. Like it's been incredibly healing, and like watching it back from the beginning for me personally, I feel like even that has been just this like steady growth.
Oh my God.
Internally.
Yeah. And when we first started this, even though I had done a heroic dose, I still didn't know shit about mushrooms really. And so each interview, one has been integration for us. And also I've grown so much, and the listeners have watched us both grow. And cause we're not the experts in this space,
No. You
know, we're the ones who speak in Cran. So we're the ones who are just brave enough to put ourselves out there and share our story and, you know, share our trials and tribulations and things that worked for us and have not. And I don't know.
Mushrooms just happen to be.
Yeah. Mushrooms are just a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there's two types of podcasters. There's the expert podcasters who we love and adore. And then there's the Cran podcasters. And I feel like Cheers to Leaving is also a Cran podcast, because we have to remind our listeners every freaking time we record, we are not therapists. We bring therapists onto our platform to give you
tools. We have a lot of experts on though. Yeah. I mean, we have a ton of resources and we have a ton of like actual therapists on. So in that sense, we have some professional episodes, but
we get a lot of professionals on because we need to have knowledge. That input because our people are coming to us being like, I need help. And I'm like, ooh, I can't help you. But that person we
interviewed, I don't want to be responsible for whatever choice you make about your marriage.
No, I do not have liability insurance for this.
Yeah. It's so true.
Exactly.
So you guys did do an episode recently with someone who had, I related to a lot because she had been like super fundamentalist Christian growing up, went to a Christian college, got out of it, started dabbling in psychedelics. And like, I related to that story a lot because that felt very similar to my own. And so you guys have like dabbled in the realm of religious trauma a little bit on your podcast, but like, do you have any like burning questions for us? I guess like when you're like, we're going to bring Truth Believing on, like what were your thoughts about that?
So we've kind of pre-talked about this because that was like the first episode we ever did where somebody talked in depth about their religious trauma. Mm-hmm. And I've dabbled in it, but we've never really jumped into how much that shaped me. We've talked about it a lot about like the body shame and like being in my sexuality and being sensual. Like I have a lot of shame around that type of stuff. And it's something that I'm working through. And I'm saying we've pre-talked about this because Christine, I don't think you have had as much of that religious trauma as like I have, or Molly has, or Rachel has.
You know what? I did think that because my, I grew up with a single mom, and my mom didn't push religion on me. But did grow up with religion, and, mine is more of how religion came into our culture and took our culture away.
Ah.
Yeah, because you're from the Marshall Islands. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're colonized.
Women, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, even now, me being an opinionated, I wear what I want. There are a lot of people in the Marshallese culture who don't necessarily live by that. But if you go back to when we were like indigenous, women were the leaders. Women didn't wear clothes. Men didn't really wear much for clothing. That's not our culture. That's religion getting mixed into it. And we say it's culture, but it's not. So that's more my thing.
That ain't the definition of religious trauma. I don't know what is.
Right. And I guess, you know, I got removed from my culture because my mom is white. And so I wasn't necessarily in it, but it's something that I see within family and friends that are Marshallese.
So I don't have a question for you guys, but I think a little bit about what both of our podcasts do is a lot of unlearning and deconditioning. And it's hard to do that. And especially when you think like, I've been this way for so long, like, and then you like make this connection and realize it goes back to like what you were taught as a kid and these belief systems that were like placed on you when you didn't really agree to those, you were just a child seeking connection and you were like, oh, okay, this is what we do. And when I do this, everybody's happy. All right, I get it. And that sticks with you for a very, very, very long time. So I guess, see, I'm stumbling over my words because I don't have a question, but I just think that what we're doing is similar in that way. You guys are very, very into that space. And a lot of people who come to us are also in that space. There's like a lot of like, what is that word when things cross over? Crossover.
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 I was like, she's so close.
She's doing the hand motions and everything.
She's doing it. You know what happens when things are crossing over? A crossover?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what the word is?
Like I said, so. We speak in crayon, okay? We speak in crayon. So whenever you've had like professionals on, I've heard several of your podcasts, but it's usually other people who are still like deconditioning or unlearning. Like, how I've never gone to someone as a therapist who specializes in this. Like, what are their thoughts on this? Like, what's the process look like?
That might be a question for the professionals.
Oh shit. Yeah, that's right. We don't want to hold you liable.
Well, what about so for you guys for personally?
Like, what is our process in unlearning things and healing and things like that?
Yeah, like
this podcast.
We talk, well, yeah, well, and we talk a lot about like the things that have happened to us or, you know, whatever, but how have you guys gotten to the other side of it? Where you don't have that anger, you know what I mean?
So for me, the podcast was really helpful in kind of uncovering some things I didn't even realize I was still storing in my body and in my psyche. So when Rachel asked me to join her as her co-host, at first I was really nervous and I was like, I only want to do like a couple episodes because I do not know how I'm going to feel bringing all of this stuff back to the surface. I had pushed my shit down so far and had basically just been like, I'm just moving forward with my life. I'm acting like none of what happened in my childhood ever happened. And doing this project has really forced me to look at my past and the way I was raised and some of those like subconscious beliefs that are still even now coursing through my veins that I have to consciously unlearn. So the podcast brought a lot of shit to the surface. I also use psychedelics. So the year I started, with Rachel on Cheers to Leaving, I was microdosing every 3 days and working with mushrooms. And it helped me a lot. It helped me get through some of those really tough months when we were going really deep and dark in the show. That was the time when we were bringing on a lot of therapists and we were talking about things like death and heaven and hell. And we were talking about purity culture and, you know, things that you don't even realize like really affected you until you're an adult. I don't know if I'm on the other side of it yet. There are still like, I don't know, like I'm struggling right now because, like I'm dating a woman now and, I'm polyamorous. So I have another partner and my family does not understand this. And most of the country doesn't, like most of society doesn't understand this. And so I am now like fighting this like really weird experience in myself where I'm like, how do I continue to stay the open, authentic person that I am, knowing that I'm going to receive this really weird, harsh judgment from everyone around me, and knowing that my family is going to look at me thinking I'm unstable and uncouth and like not taking care of myself because this is how I'm approaching relationship. And there's this like little side of me that's like, just show them the one partner and lie about the other. Like, don't be fully honest because being fully honest and truthful is going to cause you pain. And like, there's this like thing going on. And so I'm like, okay, well, I could just like present the male partner to them and be like, here is my man. I am heterosexual, just like you always wanted. Right. Yeah. And then the other part of me is like, no, bring the girl home, bring the girl home, have the uncomfortable conversations, you know? And, yeah, that's my current struggle. I don't know if I'm on the other side of it. Like I still deal with this shit daily.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How did you realize that you were polyamorous?
A few years ago, a partner and I decided to try it out. And I realized that like it was just like a much more expansive way to love. And I found that if I fell into it really easily and it felt really simple to me and it just felt natural. It's not natural for everyone. I don't recommend it to anyone, to be quite honest, because it's a tough life. It can be if you're not good at communicating, but I've been really lucky to find amazing partners who are super, you know, they just are about it. You know, they're about more expansive love. So yeah,
I don't know that world, but
yeah,
it's I would love to learn about it.
There's a lot of crossover with like the poly and queer people, especially like, yeah, lots of crossover here. bisexual and pansexual people tend to be polyamorous for the most
part. Interesting.
Yeah. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's pretty common in my world. So it's funny, like going back into like the heteronormative world where everyone's like monogamous and like with male partners, if you're a woman, you know, I'm like walking in and I'm like, oh yeah, I have a very different life and it's okay. And yeah. So I have to like work on like that judgment toward myself and just like getting more comfortable with being perceived as other. And I think that that's where my big unlearning is happening right now is I have been othered. I othered myself and I'm going to be seen as other. So can I confidently walk in that space?
Can I make a statement?
Yeah, yes, sure. Please, Leah.
I feel like you are. I feel like that is on the other side. Like, I feel like there is no like other side. Right. Like there's no other side.
You're not healed.
Right. Like healing. I feel like.
Exactly.
The entire unlearning process in general is what it means to be on the other side. Because you know there's another way. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect at it. You know, in an episode that her and I did this morning, earlier today, we were literally talking about like the ugly parts of this that are still there. They still exist.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it's fair that anybody looks at anyone as like healed or, you know, so I guess, you know, to me, like, it sounds like you're on the other side.
Yeah. I guess maybe the other side is like the wake up of like, okay, like, I'm going to choose to live differently regardless of what I've been taught. I think that that is the other side, but it doesn't come without struggles. And like, I have to hammer that home. Like it does not come.
We still struggle. That was literally our episode earlier about how we both still fucking struggle with certain things. Yeah. And that's, will always be, I mean, we're having a human experience.
Yeah.
There's good and there's bad and ugly and all of it.
But don't you feel like the struggles now feel a lot less?
Yeah.
I don't want to say intimidating because in a way they're almost harder, but like I would rather struggle through these things now where I am now and learn something from them than struggle in them the way that I was before and never learn anything from any experience ever.
Well, it's like this swimming analogy that you used. It's like before maybe you had like a life jacket where now you are learning how to swim through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Rachel, what about you?
I feel like I'm on the other side when it comes to maybe not fully religious trauma, but to some extent, like I've made peace with a lot of stuff. And I feel like I know my own mind better. And I feel like I have worked through quite a bit in that area. And I don't get as like, I'm not so sensitive about it, I guess, anymore either, which I do feel like shows, it's like a sign of, you know, healing, a sign of being in a better place with something if you're not so sensitive to everything. And I don't struggle with anger like I used to. Last year, I feel like I probably struggled with it more. I do feel like I haven't had a big healing breakthrough yet, if that makes sense. I've wanted one for a long time and I'm not quite sure how to get there. Because like
these gals got the medicine for you.
We might
have something.
You might have your medicine.
So that has been part of it though, is I've been wanting to go on a trip. Not physically. Not physically somewhere. For a long time. It's just making the time. I don't want to trip with my husband. Anytime I've tripped with my husband, it's awful.
It always is. Don't trip with
your
partners.
Not because it's all I want to do is I stop it from happening because I feel like I need to be in control. I feel like I need to take care of him. I feel like I need to control the environment. And I've never been with someone who's like, you know, gonna stay there and sort of like be like, no, I'm in control. You know, I've got this. If someone comes to the door, you know, there's all the logistics you think about. Or if I start like spinning out and I need someone to ground me type of thing. But the only thing that I've ever really done is LSD. And LSD, I think, can be good. But the times that I've done it is usually in like a music environment or like, you know, partying.
Not the intention of healing.
Yeah, not with the intention of healing, or just at home during the pandemic.
Sounds like I should have done that.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, we just like hung out and we watched movies, and ate food and, you know, just like in that environment too. So it wasn't even necessarily a party environment, but it was still awesome, just kind of like, yeah, it was kind of nice. And LSD lasts entirely too long.
It really does.
I have hated
it. It lasts so long. I'm over it by like hour five and you got another like four to go and you're like, I'm tired.
And someone was
yeah.
Someone was just telling me that she took LSD, but took it at like 9 o'clock at night.
Hell no.
And then at I'm like, well, rookie mistake. And then at like 7 o'clock in the morning, she's like, I need to go to bed, but I can't.
You can't.
I'm like, yeah.
You physically, the last
it's
time.
It's an upper. It's like a stimulant.
And the first time, well, the first time my husband and I ever did it together, I kept like looking at the clock. Like, dude, like he's like wanting to go on a hike. And I'm like, I'm telling you, we need to be doing this by like 11 o'clock if you want to like have a good night. And he's like, I don't think you're, I think you're underestimating how tired I am and how fast I can fall asleep. And I was like, I think you need to trust what I'm saying. And
I think you need to listen to me.
You need to listen to me. There were two mistakes in that one though, because like after 45 minutes, when the first tab didn't start hitting, he was just like, I think I should take another one. I was like, no, I don't think you should.
Never take another one.
And he did. And I had to, because I was like, all right, here we go.
We're in this together, babe.
No.
We're in this together.
Experimenter.
And then I swear to God, like 5 minutes after we took the second tab, like the first one kicked in and I was like, fuck.
The first time I did LSD was at midnight on New Year's Eve of 2017. Girl. And it was insane. I was on a rocket ship all night long. And then the next day, like everything was sparkly and pretty until about 1 p.m. And then at 1 p.m. I had that dopamine crash and I died for like the next 12 hours. Like it was hell. I felt miserable. I was exhausted. I was like, why would I ever do this that late at night? And then of course, you know, the guy I was dating was like, you want to do LSD every week? And it was like, we were doing we were doing it like every week for a while.
Jesus Christ.
Can't you build up a tolerance? Only ever microdosed LSD.
Oh, yeah, she's never done a better way to do it, honestly.
Yeah, the full trip could be like, I don't like looking at my hands or like I feel like I see myself as an old woman when I'm on LSD and like I see like my skeleton inside my body.
LSD can break your mind.
Yeah, no, it like it freaks me out. Like, I can't, like going to the bathroom is an excursion on LSD. It's like a whole freaking adventure. It's scary. Do not look in the mirrors. Like, not a fan.
I just feel like I'm vibrating the whole time.
Yeah. My body feels like itchy when I'm on it. Like, I feel like anxious and like itchy and I'm like really mouthy and I have to like suck on my like lips and chew on my cheeks a lot. It's weird.
See, now here's like, I've never done LSD for healing. Like, no, it's been like a connecting thing, but I've never done it in like a healing modality. But I really, 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 really think, and we talk about this a lot on our podcast, like the container that you are doing these medicines in is the most important thing. Like that's like the set and the setting. So like, you know, if you're doing it at home with your husband and you're just watching movies during the pandemic, like that's great. Like you're probably not going to have like a bad trip that way. You might, but like you're with someone that you love and care about and you're safe. And you're in the container of your home, which is also safe. And with what you're saying, Molly, like we did it one time with a friend group and it was like great until it got dark.
Yeah.
Like dark outside.
And then shit gets weird.
What do you mean?
Shit gets real weird at night.
Because we didn't have electricity. We were camping. We could hear every crackle, every snap. We had to go to the bathroom in an outhouse.
Camping is your first fucking mistake.
I
should talk about that.
That's totally. The big reason why like, I don't want to ever do ayahuasca in the jungle. Like that freaks me out. The whole thought of like being in nature while shitting and puking and crying and being on ayahuasca and like hearing all the birds and the monkeys and the mosquitoes and no. Yeah.
Yeah. Not how God intended ayahuasca to be done.
Well, but also that one is like a couple of hours and you're done.
That's
like,
true.
You're not like it's having like to like hours. Suffer in that for 12 hours. Yeah, for sure. Oh, we're not selling this to Christine either. She is like, and you're trying to get me to do LSD?
I mean, I'll still do it. So
okay, it's good.
I'll just have to
She'll take her arm
LSD.
Off. She's fine.
If you do LSD, just like make sure you don't have to do anything the next day.
Like, yeah. So like MDMA, yeah,
it's exactly. It's like an emotional, you have like an emotional hangover, like physically, like you're not physically hungover. In my case, I was never physically hungover. I was just like, my brain doesn't even want to work today. Yeah. I don't want to make decisions. I don't want to drive. I don't want to think. Don't ask me what I want to eat because I can't make that decision. But I also, Rachel, what you were talking about with like the tripping and with your husband, I will say we do talk about this a lot, and doing it the right way and doing it with the right person and with a guide and an experienced guide. And especially your first time, not doing it with someone who's also doing it. Right. My husband and I have been doing mushrooms for like 3 years now. And I think we are just now going to do a trip together, like coming up. We've been talking about it, but that is because we both know the medicine well enough to know what to expect. We both know what it's like. We both know how to surrender into it. And we both know how to hold space for each other now. If you had asked me this 3 years ago, I would have been like, fuck no, I would never do it with my husband. Ever, ever, ever.
That's so how I feel right now.
It's right. Well, because this isn't about you guys. This is about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember after my first trip, him being like, well, it didn't help. You still want to divorce me. And I was like, no, motherfucker. It helped me. It didn't help us. It didn't help heal our relationship. It helped me. You know, we're not divorced now, by the way.
But, so it did work. No,
well, ended up.
It's because I think it ended up working because he finally ended up doing a mushroom trip like almost a year later and got sober. So that's what happened.
Recently, I have started prioritizing my health and wellness habits, like exercising, eating better, and hydrating. Sometimes drinking 96 ounces of water a day can be a lot to do. That's why I like to use Liquid IV to give me some help with my hydration goals. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone. Plus, you can keep your daily routine exciting with 3 new flavors, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime. So you can switch it up and make your taste buds happy. I like to use it before a workout, when I'm feeling run down, or after a long night out because your girl is too old for hangovers. I love Liquid IV's convenient packaging. It's individual and ready to go, so you can just be your hydrated and fabulous self. I know I feel better when I'm hydrated. And if you're wondering about the sugar, honey, don't. It's sugar-free. There are no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. With a proprietary amino acid allulose blend for a sweet taste without the calories or raised blood glucose levels you get from sugar. It's non-GMO and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Get 20% off when you grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free or any other variant at liquidiv.com and use code CHEERS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code CHEERS at liquidiv.com.
I don't think that, how do I word this? It's really important to remember for listeners, especially our listeners who maybe have never dabbled in psychedelics for healing, that the medicine is within you. It is not the plant. The plant just extracts the medicine that's already within you. But you must do your integration work after the medicine. The medicine just kind of opens your eyes, like Christine was saying earlier, like opens your eyes to seeing what are the things that I need to start working on. But if you do not work on them, you will get worse. I don't know if you guys like ever did that experience, like where you would take the medicine and then it made you worse. Like that was my experience with psychedelics, like the first couple of years I was doing them, because I had no idea that it was even medicine. I had a psychotic breakdown, like mental health crisis after another. I lost 2 relationships during this time. Like it was bad. I was actually looking on Facebook, like was sending me Facebook memories. And there was a memory that popped up the year I got diagnosed with bipolar disorder, which was a misdiagnosis. Turns out I'm just like have ADHD. And with that, it becomes lots of mood swings.
Same.
Yeah. Just neurodivergent out here. But, in my status, I was like, I just like felt my poor little heart crying out. And it was just, I know there's something deeply wrong and I do not know how to fix it. And I want to have right relationships, and I want to be a productive human that makes good decisions for their business. And I want to, you know, be financially stable, and I want to have a stable like home environment. But I was unable to do all of these things because, you know, had a lot of trauma and mental illness going on, and the psychedelics were only amplifying the problems. And then I had no tools. And so I was like, just completely overwhelmed. And it actually like worked against me. And so, I just like have to like say that first, especially our listeners who love to come to us and be like, fix me. It's like, you have to like be able to face that shit and like work through it and have the right team of people around you to do it.
And also for your listeners, you know, we interview a lot of therapists, psychiatrists. If you don't know what you're doing, but you're really curious, I highly encourage hiring or going to a psychedelic assisted therapist, and they can help you like set an intention and get ready for the journey. And then they can also help you afterwards with integration. Cause that is the big, big, big piece. Because you may have this beautiful experience and get all of these lessons, but if you go back to cause it's 5 grams is the show you your shit dose. So if you go back to old patterns and old behaviors, you're going to fall right back into, you know, feeling like shit, like you did before. So working with somebody is incredibly helpful to help you integrate, because integration can be hard, because it could be having boundaries with people who aren't used to you having boundaries, you changing certain things about yourself and the people around you don't like it. Like it can be very challenging for integration because you are trying to change and
your environment isn't changing.
Your environment is not changing. And, you know, if you don't have that support system, I mean, a therapist could be really, really huge to make sure you're ready. And then after you do it, you have the proper tools.
Yeah.
So I have a question. I feel like every time I've heard about healing through psychedelics, I know everyone's journey is different. And if you guys wanted to share like a snippet of your own journeys when you took the 5 grams, like just something that was really powerful to you, I think would be helpful for me, because it all feels kind of vague and you don't really know what you're supposed to see. And I think my problem, at least with understanding this, is I'm always so controlling every time I take drugs like this. I can literally do incredible things with my brain and like make my brain stop doing this. I did this one time when, my husband and I took LSD, and then we thought that we could make ourselves sleep because we took it at night by taking weed with it, which is what you do not want to do, because oh my God, you guys, that was the longest night of my life. I saw,
wow.
Don't do it. Don't do it. I was looking up, will you die? And everything. And I was like, you will not die, but prepare for the worst. So anyway, my husband was just really panicking. And I was going to call our friend who also took LSD. This is just a real quick anecdote, and then I'll get back on it. And he took my phone because he was afraid I was going to call 911 and just chucked it across the room. He wouldn't let me call my friend. He wanted me just to get in bed with him and just write it out.
Write it out.
Bless but him. I was like, bro, I'm not going to call 911. Like, I am here enough to know that I'm, you know, but I was just going to call my friend to like help her like calm us down. And anyway, he saw some crazy shit that night, and I took something on the wall and I just focused on it because the wall obviously was moving and there was like portals opened up on the floor. And I was like, okay, I just have to like stick with it. And so I just kept like distracting myself from what was happening. And he just sort of like experienced stuff. He went to another dimension, another timeline. He saw a familiar, he said this spirit felt familiar, but it was like some sort of like being he met out in like a different reality. And he said it was so wild because again, he felt they were familiar to him. And so I was like so jealous once the night was over because I like was trying to take care of us and I was trying to distract him and trying to be like, we're going to be okay. Because like last thing I remember is I was in the hallway and you know, in like cartoons when like they kind of like go out and they'll have like the background sort of like spin and get small. That's exactly what happened to my surroundings as I was standing in the bathroom. Like this was maybe like 20 minutes after we smoked the weed. And I was like, fuck.
Oh my.
I was like, oh no. Oh no. And like, I was like, there's nothing I can do. Like, I'm going to just have to ride it out. And so we were up all night and we watched movies and stuff. But he had a cool experience, I guess, because he couldn't control his mind the way that I was desperately controlling mine.
Maybe he just like let go into it. I don't think it's that he couldn't control his mind. I think that there's like a little bit, there has to be surrender. Yeah. Like there's a surrender element.
Right. But I felt like someone had to be in reality.
Well, he probably didn't help because he was panicking. And then he ended up having a really beautiful experience.
I mean, I was panicking to some extent, right? Because you start seeing shit and you're like, oh no, I don't know what to do. I've never been here before.
There's always one person that turns into the sitter if you do a group trip.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I don't ever want to do it with him because I literally turn into the sitter.
You do. And you turn into like a motherly role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to do it where like someone is sitting you and it's in a, like they're not on the medicine. But also, like, side note, Rachel, is this the same house that, like, I've been in?
No.
It's not the house that's haunted? But, like,
Shit.
It's not my current house.
It's not your current house. Because, like, you have told me on different occasions about, like, portals in your house and, like, how, like, your current house has, like, there was a spirit in your house at one point. And, like, I just think there's some funky things going on in that house. Just a side note.
There are. I don't know if I should trip here, but maybe I should. Maybe I'll find friends.
Yeah. My girlfriend found a portal in my bedroom. Like, there was, like, some weird energy in my bedroom recently, and I wasn't sleeping for, like, 4 nights, and my dog wasn't sleeping. And she does, like, shamanic work. And so I brought her over, and I was like, I want you to just feel in the house. I'm like, I think there's something in the house. So we're, like, sitting and watching TV, and you can see like through my bedroom door, like from the side of where my couch is. And so we're just like sitting there and she's just like through her peripherals, she sees something moving back and forth in my room and it's like pacing back and forth. And she's like, there is something in your room. And I'm like, what the fuck is in my room? And she's like, I don't know. I'm going to go in there. So she goes in there and she like gets the sage and she's like doing her little thing. And she starts like drawing little like things on the ceiling and stuff and was like doing all this stuff. And then she tells me, she's like, do you want me to tell you what I found out? And I was like, yeah. She goes, okay, you fucking opened a portal probably in your sleep. You didn't realize you did it. You need to like, why is your mirror facing your bed? Like there was like all these like things. And I was like, oh shit, I didn't know that was a thing. So apparently there was an energy portal that had been opened in my room and some energy entity got into my room. And it was feeding off of the electrical currents in my room, going from my Wi-Fi router to the other like electrical current. And it was just kind of shooting back and forth in front of the door, just like going like this back and forth. And it was freaking my dog out because at every night we'd be in bed and I'd be like trying to fall asleep. And my dog's just going doot, 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 like looking back and forth and barking. And like it was tripping him out to the point where he stopped sleeping in my room. And so she's telling me all this shit. And I'm like, stop. I don't like this. I don't like this at all. And she goes, have you ever done mushrooms in your room? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, did you ever close that ceremony out? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, what did you do to close it out? I told her. And she's like, dude, you have probably had this thing open for months. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. I don't even know what that was all about. It was weird, but
I'm making the same face as I did a year ago when you were talking about astral projection. I'm just want to throw that out there. Okay.
We have some weird stories, but Rachel, I feel like you probably have some like interesting portals in your house. Like I feel like with acid and with mushrooms, like you see things that are there, like the veil is lifted and you can actually like see stuff that you wouldn't normally see. So your logic brain is like, no, I don't like this.
Well, probably.
I
want to go back to you, Rachel, because I really think that is probably keeping you from having like a really great healing experience is that like need to control it. And there is this like, you cannot be smarter than the medicine. You can't. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. And so the more you fight it, the more you resist it, the more you try to control it, the harder it's going to be. And so that's why when I said in the beginning, like Terrence McKenna said, like the problem with doing psychedelics isn't doing too little or doing too much. It's doing too little, because the smaller doses, and I'm not talking about with LSD, I'm talking about with mushrooms. If you can do a smaller dose, you're probably going to fight the experience. But the larger of a dose you do, it's a lot harder to fight the experience. Like you kind of don't have a choice but to be submissive to it.
And the other thing is when, you know, we've sat for people who are having an experience, and even when you're doing a heroic dose, you don't want your cat to be there. You don't want your husband to be there. Nope. You got a dog. Bye. And there have been situations where people have been like, no, it's okay. It's okay. I promise you, it's not. It, like, they are going to interfere. And when you do a heroic dose, it's for you. And you want to take all the distractions out. No offense to your husband. But
probably a great guy. Love him.
Yeah, we love him. He's great. He's wonderful. But back to your question, there is, you know, some people see things. Some people, for me, I didn't see anything my first trip. My first journey, I had just really intense feelings. So I would have the most intense feeling of anger. And then I listened to a meditation before I take the medicine, and he talks about, you know, going back to your intention and going back to your breath. So I would literally in my head be like, okay, like your intention was to let it go, like breathe, let it go. You got this. Then another wave would hit and be in the most intense feeling of sadness. And again, I'd go back, intention, breath, you got this. And with time, and I just kept doing it, I got more and more confident with myself that I can get myself through anything. And I don't need, you know, an apology from this person. I don't need my mom to parent me a certain way or my dad to parent me a certain way, because I can be my own mom and I can be my own dad. And I don't need you. And I don't need, and I'm not saying that in like a fuck you, I don't need you. I'm saying that as a, I feel empowered.
That was your lesson.
And that was my lesson. And okay. I gave so many people my power. Bitch, that shit is mine. And then my second journey, I did see things, and my ancestors showed up, and pretty much the gist of it was they told me to keep doing what I'm doing and to continue to speak and continue to say things that they never got to say.
You're lucky that your ancestors actually talked to you. Mine just talked at me. The last time I did like a heroic dose was last November when I opened the portals, and I had a familiar come forward for me, and it was an ancestor that had been like kind of with me for a couple of months. I had a client point him out to me. She's like, did you know you have somebody with you? And I was like, what? And she like described him, and I'm like, what the hell? This is so weird. And then when I was tripping, I saw him, and like I felt his presence, and he felt very familiar to me, and it felt like home. And it was funny because like I'm laying on my mat, and with mushrooms, I always like use do you guys use like eye masks?
Hell yeah.
I feel like I get visuals when I use eye masks. If my eyes are open, I don't get visuals. I just get feelings. Yeah. So I had the eye mask. So it was the first time I had ever done like a visual mushroom journey. And I opened my eyes in my mind's eye because my eyes are covered in real life. And I open my eyes and I'm laying on my mat, and I see all of these feet standing around me. Like all of these people are standing around me, and they're like kind of in black and white, and I'm in color. And they're like, why is she here? What is she doing? Is she alive? She's not supposed to be here. Can she see us? She shouldn't be able to perceive us. Is she okay? And then the familiar one was like on my right shoulder. He was like standing by my right shoulder. He's like, yeah, she's cool. She's just passing through. Just ignore her. She's alive. And then like, he took me into the next like space, like the next space where I met like the mushroom entity, and like had this like big, massive, like colorful, it felt like a koi fish experience. It was just like in this like colorful pond of color.
Your brain is fucking wild.
It was insane. And then like, I kept getting these like wild, like pops of air, like in my face. and I would like come out of it. And it was almost like my nervous system almost couldn't handle going deeper. And so anytime it would start to get a little too intense, I would feel like this puff of air in my face and I'd like come back out of it. But I definitely have to second not having your pets in the house, because my dog, he was also sensing my nervous system. And so he would bark
100%.
Whenever anything was getting a little bit too intense, he would come, he would like bring me out of it. And there was one point where I was like really grateful for it. And then I was like, come on, dude, like you're fucking my trip up.
Like pulling me out of this.
Literally, like I'm about to have this like big, huge epiphany and you keep barking. But
also it's weird how like when you have cats in the room and you're tripping, they're looking at the same shit you're looking at.
That's and what I keep saying, Rachel. What, you got portals in your house.
What the fuck? Why do you see that too?
Because cats can see through that veil. Like I had a friend doing an energy read on me because she can like see, like it's not auras, it's like your spirit light. She can like actually see your soul light.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's crazy. She's like learning all about it. So she was reading mine, and then she saw that same ancestor standing next to me, which was fucking weird. And then her cat walked by and it all went away. It was just like the cat is like a spirit sweeper. It was like, nope, get out of my house.
So on yeah, the, no. I know we talked about like supportive environments, but yeah. When it comes to like safety, what, how do you guys, in your own experiences and in experiences with others, how do you like ensure a safe environment during these psychedelic experiences?
And, good question.
You know, like physically, mentally, all of the stuff. I mean, obviously, we're assuming someone who's taking it isn't someone prone to psychotic breaks or things like that, you know, but I feel like safety is part of the reason why people are afraid mm-hmm. of, totally you know, hallucinogens that. And things like that. So for anyone maybe wanting to go here, but like, I even get a little bit nervous with safety as well. It's just, you know, because I did listen to Allie's story, the one who had religious trauma. And I know she was like at one point throwing up and, you know, sounded like she was safe the whole time. But there's just like things that you're like, is this supposed to happen? Like, are we okay? Are we hydrated? Things like that.
I think the biggest thing, like we do a lot of harm reduction and there's a lot of prep work and there's a lot of talking that we do. It's kind of like a pre-interview, like talking with someone, and we go over a list of shit, like things to expect, things that might happen, not things that might not happen, not to have expectations going in, how to set your intention. There might be throwing up, there might be shitting, like there are things that happen. And if you kind of talk with someone beforehand about all the things that could happen, and there are like no expectations going in, whether one of those will or won't, then I think that that kind of covers it all. And my guide did the same with me. Like she talked to me about like, you might experience death. You might experience a rebirth. You might get stuck in a loop. You might talk to your ancestors. You might see aliens. Like, and there's a lot of prep work that goes into it, but the biggest thing, and can I say this, like from my own experience, is from what we do. And I guess like we do sit with people, but like what we do, we have learned along the way that not everybody is ready for this. Mm. A lot of people want it, but not everybody is ready. And it has come back to bite me before. Not legally, thank God, but like I've watched it happen like afterwards. And I'm like, yeah, I shouldn't have sat with them. Like they weren't ready. And you know why they weren't ready? They didn't know what doing the work meant. And I'll say this right now, like my husband wasn't ready the first time he did it. He had no comprehension of what it meant to do the work and had never been in therapy alone, really had no self-awareness. So after his first journey, and I didn't want to sit with him either. Like he wanted me to sit with him. And I was like, I don't think you're ready. I don't think you should do this. He was depressed and he wanted a quick fix, which was another thing. I was like, you're doing this for a quick fix. I don't think you're doing this the right way. It came back and bit him hard after he came out of that. It pulled him out of depression, but to what Molly was saying earlier, like it almost magnified all the issues and all of his shit so much so that like 2 months in, he's like, that didn't help. Things are worse. And I'm like, they are worse because you're seeing them and you're not doing anything about them. Like, I told you, I didn't think you were ready for this. I told you, you had to be able to integrate. And he was very much like, what does that even mean? And I'm like, so you didn't listen. You didn't listen to me. One of the things he said is like, well, it's too late to integrate it now. Like, it's been several months. And I'm like, no, you can integrate an experience you had like 5 years ago. You can integrate an experience you had 10 years ago.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. And if you have someone who is like well-versed in this type of stuff, like, which is why we say, you know, we're not therapists in this, but we can recommend therapists to people who work specifically with integrating these experiences. That's huge. That's important. So once he was able to actually sit and integrate that experience, that's when he got sober. The medicine didn't get him sober. The medicine showed him his shit, and he wasn't ready to see it because that's not why he did the medicine. So
I would imagine that taking it while depressed actually might not be a good idea. Like I think, a deep depression, I feel like that could kind of fuck your brain up. Well, personally, that's my own personal opinion.
I feel like microdosing might be better if you're dealing with some mental health stuff, but to like be doing it alongside therapy and like coaching and like getting like you're actively in your integration work, I guess. Because it helped me when I was depressed. Like it pulled me out. Yeah.
So let's say somebody just lost a loved one. Probably not the right time to do it right after. They have to process some things and
work through them
and work through some things.
Anything traumatic.
When you're kind of like really deep in something, it's probably not the right time. But when I took it, I was depressed.
Same.
Okay.
And I will say, knowing what I know now about it, I don't recommend anybody do it to not be depressed. Because that wasn't really the second time I did it. I was like very, very, very much in like one of the worst depressive episodes I've ever been in. And it was before my husband got sober and I was not in a good headspace.
Well, but you also were like, did healing and went back into
yes,
a polluted environment.
That
so
too.
That made it much worse. And that's why we talk a lot about how it's really imperative to have
community
and support. And we support. Are not meant to go through these things alone. And it can be much harder if you had this wonderful lesson and then you go back, you know,
but I also
a toxic situation.
I wasn't a beginner. It wasn't my first rodeo with the medicine, and it did pull me out of my depression long enough. It pulled me out of my depression long enough because everybody who does this know, like usually after some type of large intentional medicine healing mushroom journey, there's like this cloud. We call it the mushroom cloud that like everything is great. And, oh my God. Like we tell people all the time, like don't make any life changing decisions because you're going to come like out high. Of this. You're going to want to marry your partner. You're going to want to, you know, do all these life changing things and everything is love and everything is beautiful and everything is great. And how could anybody be so sad? That doesn't last. And it does pull you out of that hole, but you have to do the work after that. So for me and for my experience personally, like I wouldn't change what I did, but I did do it in a very, very deep, dark hole. But I knew that it would give me enough time to pull myself out to figure out the next step. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Staying stuck, staying depressed. That was really hard for me. Staying a victim. Healing is also can be really, really challenging because you're facing your shadows. You're working through shit. You're maybe cutting off toxic relationships. But I know that sounds so cliche to say, but it's like choose your hard. I would rather choose that hard and have, you know, be much closer to myself and have this inner peace. And no ways to, when I am struggling, how to navigate out of it. I'd rather choose that hard than stay stuck in this like victim mindset that I was in.
Well, now we have this as a tool.
Yes.
This is just another tool.
Right. And I guess I'm saying this because I think sometimes people hear our stories and they're like, great, I want that.
Right.
I want that. And I'm like, no, but it's still work. This is, if you have this mentality of like, take a pill and it will make me feel better.
This isn't for you.
The medicine isn't for you. Because this is a lifelong journey of healing and growing and evolving and working on yourself. But I love that. Like, what an opportunity.
Yeah.
So.
And it's also not something that we do like weekly or monthly or even like every few months. Like, you know, the first time I did it, I waited a little too long in between my first two journeys. I let myself get a little too far away from myself before I reached for it again. But now it's just one of the things that I will use that is in my toolbox. If I feel like I'm stuck or there's something that I'm not able to move through, or I've worked on something really hard, but like, there's just something there that I'm not getting, like, this is a tool that I'll use for that. So now it's like once a year. Once every 6 months, I'll do a journey.
Yeah.
That's why I like microdosing so much, because specifically relating it back to religious trauma, when I was microdosing last year while recording our podcast, it was helping me work through those stuck points I had with my own religious trauma shit that was coming up in episodes. So we'd interview an expert on something and they'd speak to an experience and I'd be like, oh my God. I didn't even know I was holding this in my body, right? And we get off of the episode recording and I'd like want to vomit and I'd be in this really, really, it would like shove me into a dark place. Cause like, I was like, I don't know how to work through this. Right. And I think what microdosing helped me do was it would pull me out of the depression for just long enough where I could look at that stuff and I could sit with it and feel it. And I knew like the mushrooms like kind of gave me this newfound awareness of how to hold myself in safety. And kind of like what you were saying, Christine, about your journey, like that epiphany that you had where it was like, I've got me, like no one else has got me the way I've got me. Like that was the biggest thing for me to be able to say, oh, I've got me. Like I am safe. I have created safety around me. I have cultivated spaces in which I can grow and be safe and work through this shit. And it's like, it's not going to come back and get me. And that was huge. I really love microdosing, maybe more than big heroic doses, because of it's so subtle. You don't even feel like high when you're on it. It's just these really subtle moments of transformation a couple of days after you microdose that you start to receive. And it's like these messagings of like, you are safe, you are cared for, abundance is everywhere, love is everywhere. You are covered, like just like this deep feeling of like connectedness to yourself and to everyone else. And it was like, ooh, it really helped, especially when we were talking about like anything. We would have like guests that would ask us, well, how's your relationship with your family? And I'm like, that's such a loaded question for both of us. And, you know, we would answer it as best we could. And then I'd come off of it and I'd be like, shit, I'm not. My relationship with my family ain't doing so hot, to be completely honest. And you get all these like weird limiting beliefs hitting you and all of this shit that would hit me like, okay, like I know my family doesn't support me in X, Y, and Z. And then I would, microdosing was part of my protocol during that time. And I would come off of that, you know, 3 days after microdosing. And I'd be like, you know what? My family is doing the best that they can and they're loving me with the tools they know how to use. And I cannot put this new expectation on them. I can't expect them to show up for me in these ways because they are not capable of showing up for me in these ways. I have to show up for myself in these ways. And I also need to find other people that can show up for me in this way. And thus I was able to find my chosen family and people who really can love me fully in the way that I always desired and needed from my birth family. And like, I don't think I would have been able to access that as quickly. Not saying I wouldn't have been able to do it at all. I think maybe 10 years of therapy might have helped. But like mushrooms like catapulted me into that space where it was like, oh, I can be there for me in a way that like therapy had not gotten to that point yet with me. Like therapy was just like unpacking and laying it all out on the floor and then leaving because the time is up. and you're walking home like, oh my, I feel worse.
What am I supposed to do with this? Right.
But I think with therapy, it's easy to, and I don't want to say lie, but a lot of times when we go to therapy, we're the victim. Right? Like we're the victim in the story and, yeah. and we go and we vent and they're like, okay, like that, you know, whatever, where mushrooms, you can't bypass that.
You're not allowed to be the victim with mushrooms, like in a sense.
Kind of. Well, and
no,
we
it kind of shows you like the opposite, like nah, bitch, you created this.
Yeah. Like, and so that's another thing why some people aren't ready for that yet.
Yeah.
Where I was, cause I was willing to do the work on whatever the medicine was going to show me where, you know, that's not,
you know, it's funny cause you and I have talked about this. Like, I'm not like a fan of microdosing the way that I am large journeys, but hearing you say that,
that's interesting.
I'm going to take this back because, you know, I did have I didn't speak to my mom for 10 years. There was a lot of anger and hate and resentment. And my mom chose the church over family over and over and over and over and over. And it happened so often in our life. Like she would leave my dad and then all it would take for him to come back in was to like go to church with her a few times and raise his hands and speak in tongues. And she would take him back. And we're like being pulled from state to state because she's trying to get away from my dad and then he's coming back. So there was a lot of like, you preach this like holier than thou lifestyle and you are like the worst hypocrite. Like, and she was the reason I hated religion so much because I saw the way that our family was on the inside and then I saw the way that she acted in church. Last year, my mom came back into my life and I'm hearing you say the story about microdosing because I didn't do it often and I never follow a protocol and I'm not like a proponent of microdosing. I'm more of like a, no, like just jump in, go big or go home type person. But I had to see her last year, last June with family and there was no way around it. So I had my kids with me. I was going to visit. It was other people involved, but I was like, oh my God, like every time I have to see her, like I just like shut down emotionally and I don't want to be there and I get sick. And I microdosed that morning because I was like, fuck it. Like, I'll take one of these and figure it out. You know, this
you
story,
sent me
you?
Pictures.
I sent you pictures because it was a 2-hour drive to get there. And my kids were in the car. I was sobbing the entire drive. And my husband wasn't with me. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? I forgot I took the microdose, forgot that I took it. And I'm like sending her photos. I'm like, I can't stop crying. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like if I get there, like I can't go in there like this. Like I'm sobbing. Like I am a wreck. I called my husband. I was like, I don't know what to do. Tell me a funny story. I pull up to the place that we're going and the tears just stop immediately. Like it was like, huh, that was weird. Cried for like 2 hours straight and now they're like just gone. And I go into the restaurant and she walks in and all I saw was someone who was sad. And I was like, oh fuck. And I came out of that like, maybe she should be in my children's lives. You know, maybe she was doing the best she could and it did hurt me, but I can forgive her for that because I don't think she knew what she was doing. And I don't think that she'll ever understand that. And I don't need to bring it to her for her to understand that because I don't want to hurt her any more than she's already hurting. So it's wild because two of my kids, she had never met before, never even met. And now she like comes and she'll stay and she'll watch them for a weekend. And she has a relationship with my kids. And that was microdosing for me. However, we are not best friends. You're not mother daughter. She is my children's grandmother. I see her for who she is. I expect nothing more and I expect nothing less. And I am able to be around her. There are boundaries and I never in a million years would have thought that I would get to that place with her. Never. So
look what microdosing did for you, Leah.
I know. Now that you, like, hearing you say that, I'm like, oh shit, maybe I should microdose more often. Cause I really, I kind of don't, like, I'm a deep diver. Like, I really am.
But like, look at how like subtle the purge was, right? Like, you cried exactly for 2 hours. Like, your body had to release all of that pent up emotion around it so that you could hold space for her in her humanness and how she was showing up. And you could see her for who exactly she was in that moment, not who she was to you for your whole life. And I think that that is the power that mushrooms carries, especially in small doses. I remember I microdosed on Christmas Eve one year because being around my massive, large Italian family feels very overwhelming. And I told my mom, I was like, I microdosed. And I was just like sitting there giggling. And she was like, oh my God, she had handed me like something to cut up. And she like takes the knife away from me. And she was like, I think
you're like, maybe I'm not high.
Exactly. I was like, I'm not high. I just feel really happy. And she was like, oh, okay. Can you chop these up? I'm like, sure. And I'm going super slow and like taking way too long. She took it away from me anyway. But like, it allowed me to be present and in the moment and not stuck in my head. Cause like, I'll get into this like loop where I'm just replaying traumatic moments sometimes when I'm around the people who created those, who are part of those moments.
Yeah.
Being around family, especially holidays, tends to bring a lot of that shit up for some reason.
Yeah.
And so microdosing on that day was, I remember it being the best Christmas I've had with my family in my adult life because I was actually present with what was versus being present with the past. And that's the beauty of mushrooms, is it brings you to the present moment in small doses. And a microdose is like a quarter of a gram, you know, like you're not taking much.
If you feel it, it's too much.
Too much.
Exactly. Hey, we know that deconstructing religious trauma is hard and can feel heavy when you're doing it on your own. We get it. We're right here with you in this process. The one thing we can always go back to is getting quality therapy with a licensed mental health professional. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. BetterHelp is the world's largest leading therapy service, and it's 100% online. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 25,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy.
That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then you can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. You can message your therapist at any time and schedule live sessions when it's convenient for you. If your therapist isn't the right fit for any reason, you can switch to a new therapist at no additional charge. With BetterHelp, you get the same professionalism and quality you expect from in-office therapy, but with a therapist who is custom picked for you. You'll have more scheduling flexibility at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/cheers. That's better, HELP.com/cheers.
Rachel, have you done that?
No, I've definitely taken too little before when trying to trip, but it's so weird. I feel like I've gotten a lot of different information about like how much to take to not like the go big or go home trip, but to just trip, I guess, if you're wanting like a casual trip. I don't know. If you want to take like a little baby step, like if you want to go outside and take a walk and enjoy the sunset and be one with nature type trip, that's kind of what I've tried to go for on mushrooms. And I never quite get there because I don't know. I just don't. So I've always been curious about microdosing because I do struggle with anxiety and depression. And I don't know if it's religious trauma and coming away from that, but there's obviously like an identity thing when something has been a part of your life for so long. It's kind of like ripping away this identity and ripping away parts of yourself, being like, was that religion or is this me? I don't know anymore. And so I've struggled with that a lot. And even just like thinking, like biases, things that you think, and like literally when you're raised in it, it constructs your brain. And so as you're taking that all away, you're like, is this me or is this religion? And so I think that has kind of allowed me, I mean, there's other aspects of it, but to become disconnected from myself and my life. So probably in the past year or so, I have really not been able to find enjoyment or joy in literally anything. Exciting trips, nothing, things like that. So it's just like kind of numbness. And I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's depression. I don't know what it is, but it feels like maybe people's experience with microdosing, that might be more up my alley, I guess, in that way, to sort of help me reconnect with my body and my life and not just feel like I'm on autopilot or watching someone else's story. Because sometimes I think your body and your mind sort of detach when you feel like you're just doing so much when it comes to like deep thinking and trying to figure stuff out and trying to figure out who you are. And like, you just need a break. And I have a hard time finding breaks and balancing that out as well. So
you should message us later. Literally. I was just going to, the thing I have like a descriptor word for every psychedelic I've done so far. And you know, LSD is fun. It's like my play drug medicine. It's my play medicine.
It can be fun.
It can be like in the right setting. MDMA for me is love, but I always say mushrooms feel like coming home to yourself. And mm-hmm. it sounds like that might be what you're looking for, is this home. Mm-hmm. And I can say with certainty, like I never knew what that felt like before mushrooms. I didn't know what coming home to myself meant. I didn't know that I was so disconnected from my body until I was connected to my body.
Same. Mm-hmm.
And then I knew when it was feeling like I was falling away from it, which is why now, like the last time I did a mushroom trip, I was like, I can, and I said this to you back in January, I said, I can feel myself drifting away from myself. And that's how I know that it's time. Like, that's how I know I need to like find a way back in. And it happens a lot after the holidays, like you were saying, Molly, because that's a lot of like, that brings up a lot of trauma for a lot of people who have dealt with like family shit. Like
why is it the holidays? Because like,
it's because,
I can see because them in
you're
the
with your family,
but like,
and those see, memories come up,
but I can see them in the summer and it's no big deal. It's no, so chill.
I think it's the expectations and pressure around Christmas time. I mean, yeah. The holidays always make
holidays are about
so
family and holidays,
but everyone's stressed like, the fuck out mm-hmm. when it's the holidays.
No one's happy. Like you're looking around and you're like, no one else is happy. There's no holiday
it's
cheer.
Just the expectations. Everyone has individual expectations of what the day is supposed to be like, and it never happens up to their expectations, and then everyone's a little bit grumpy, you know. And so I almost would just love to cancel holidays, because
same
between my mom and my husband's mom, the expectations are so stupid. And I did host Christmas Eve last year, and oh my god it was too
I just
want
to like was, take a vacation every year on
but,
Christmas
but let me
I've
say
done
this
that before
even just a little bit you're saying sounds like there needs to be some boundaries there, and whether they be invisible or they be spoken to these people.
So
yeah, that's again, my mom is pretty much like very narcissistic, has a lot of her own boundaries, codependent. I'm dealing with a lot when it comes to her. She does not recognize boundaries, and she's
my mom.
Controlling, and she doesn't know when to go. And I have always so much anxiety every time she comes over, because I don't know when she's going to leave, even if I've already established that beforehand. Like it's one of those relationships where I'm like, I could probably, last summer she actually went to Canada for 3 months, and it was really nice because
you're like, it's so quiet.
I didn't have to deal with it. And it was like, it's one of those relationships that's just like hard, 'cause she's my only parent. I had a stepdad, he passed away. I had a biological father, he also passed away. So she's my only parent. So there's some guilt there where you're like, you know, and I know she loves us, but it's just like, so yes, I know everyone talks about boundaries, but it's hard to implement.
It is hard.
No, it's really hard when you're still trying to maintain a relationship with someone. It's so much easier if you're like, I don't care if I have a relationship with them or not, right? Like,
yeah,
but
it
if
is.
You want that.
I had to move 5 hours away from my family to figure out how to have healthy boundaries and a healthy relationship with my family members. Like I actually had to physically remove myself and make it where, like, if I'm going to see them, it is an intentional thing. I'm in control of that visit. I'm driving myself. I'm deciding where I'm staying. I'm deciding when I'm going to leave. Like, I had to create that kind of scenario.
Yeah, that's not an option for me, though.
Right. But, like, I don't know. Like, there's just like, I think there are workarounds, you know, like you mentioned, like your mom,
that's something I would love to do, but then I have
like, don't invite her to your house. Well,
I just kind of started being like, right. Which is what I've done for the most part.
Yeah. It is tough,
but it's still stressful even to say no. I mean, even just saying no, yeah. Like even though I do it, it's stressful. And then I have another aspect of the fact that I can't leave the state either. I can't move far away like I would like to because of my daughter's father. And then he's also a narcissistic, manipulative person. And so there's a lot of relationships in my life where I'm just like always constantly pushing back on it. So I'm kind of just exhausted.
She sounds a lot like me.
I know. She's got some narcissists in her life that she's going to have to.
I am surrounded by narcissists.
And you know,
I,
so is Leah.
I very much was.
You know, was raised to be a people pleaser. I'm very much an empathetic person, which is such an easy target for narcissists, you know, because they'll take that shit.
You really should message us later. Yeah, message me. I feel like you're me right now.
You're me.
You are me. But I really, even if it's like the days that you can't get away, those are the days that you microdose.
Right.
So it gives you like, something to hold
something
on
to make me want to.
And it's very different than medicine because it's not like you're taking something to numb out, because I think I used to do that too. Like, I just want to go, but I'm going to numb out because this is like so difficult and I don't know what to do and I don't know what to say. But like, this is like, you're able to see a different side of that person and you're able to sit with that person and you're able to be present. And it's not necessarily going to be angry to do, to do that. So
it's almost like it takes away that filter of anxiety and pain that you see that person through, like at all times. This is what I experience with my own parents. Like, there's always a layer of like, I need to mask. I need to not say this thing because it's going to bring this thing up. It's like when I'm on mushrooms around them, it's like I can relax and they get to see who I am and I get to see who they are. And there's like, it's almost like I'm not anticipating the judgment and anticipating the pain points, you know, so they don't come up because we manifest our own reality, right? So it's like, if we're thinking about the pain points, we're gonna find the pain points, right?
Yeah.
And I think mushrooms kind of like the microdose kind of like takes that out just a little bit. Like,
well, we always say the message behind every lesson is love.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what the lesson is, when you do a large journey, like the underlying voice is love. Like, it's delivered with love, like when you're doing it respectfully. But as far as dosing goes, like, yeah, that's huge too. The respect, the dosing, the set, the setting, the intention, the integration work, like all of that is the most important part.
I feel like there's going to be like this phenomenon.
Things matter.
Yeah. I feel like there's going to be a phenomenon of people of our generation microdosing at Christmas. Cause like, that's when we have to be around everyone.
Do you guys want to go in like a little bit of a different direction with this and get a little bit more into like not healing? I'm just curious your opinions on it. So
go for it.
I listened to this podcast once. It wasn't yours, but it was, it was Duncan Trussell Family Hour. I don't know if you listened to him. I love Duncan Trussell. I love the DTFF or DTFH show. But he had Andrew Gallimore on. And I don't know if you guys know anything about Andrew Gallimore.
I don't know who that is.
He does a lot of research into psychedelics. He's a neurobiologist. He's a pharmacist. So he's all qualified to do these things, but he's taken it like a step further and actually does experimental type stuff, more so with DMT, in like sort of a lab safe environment on people. And he's studying the mind essentially. And so in this conversation, and I can put it in the show notes, I can send it to you if you guys are curious.
Yeah, curious.
It was almost like questioning the reality of the psychedelic experience, because our brains kind of like, so our brains sort of like look at the world and then create a map for us essentially, right? It creates this reality in front of us based on what's in front of it. And so the theory was that with DMT and psychedelics, that we could possibly, it's very possible we're entering another world and our brain is constructing a map based off of the medicine that we have been given. And so his study and his argument is that we are actually stepping into a different reality, and not in like a weird, like woo-woo sense, like in an actual sense. And right. there's like just a lot of research to kind of like back that up. Not that he's proven it, but it's like a solid theory.
I love that.
What are your thoughts on that?
We were literally just talking about that the other day in the car on the way to lunch.
Well, the CIA just like released a bunch of documentation about how astral projection is a real thing.
Yeah. So, and holograms. And,
yeah. It's like, yeah, I think it's real.
Like,
I just haven't heard it explained like that before.
Yeah.
Where so, your brain is constructing a map.
I think the times that like we have done these types of things, like when we did DMT and
I saw some shit.
You saw some shit.
I saw some shit on DMT.
It's almost like, you know, people talk about like the machine elves and the DMT aliens, but I'm like,
yes. So to he brought me, those up as well.
What I think it is we have no control over our lives like we think we do. There are people in this other dimension, and there are beings, not people. There are beings, and whether they're spirit guides, aliens, entities, whatever the fuck you want to call them, they are making things go the way they're supposed to go, and we can call on them for help when we want to. we can call on them when we need help, but they don't interfere unless it's life or death. I think when we go into these other realms with psychedelics, that's what we're getting. We're getting help. And I have also experienced this type of stuff without using psychedelics, because it did kind of turn me down this spiritual path that I was resisting for most of my life because it looked too much like religion. I had a spiritual awakening after my first mushroom trip, and I did start to talk to these spirits, these guides, whatever you want to call them, angels, guides, spirits, aliens, entities, whatever you want to call them, and asking for help. And it seemed like every time I asked for help or every time I asked for a sign, I would get it. So that's what I think we have access to. This other world.
Have you guys ever heard like the Almost 30 podcast girls?
Yeah. Okay. Christine loves them.
Yeah. I love them too. Okay. So they talk about like the Akashic records and like the Z's and like these entities that certain people can channel. They call them in and they're able to talk about like the soul's journey and all of these like really interesting phenomenons. But what's so interesting to me is how many people have accessed this. Like there's a lot of meditation leaders that have stepped into the same alter realities, like alternative realities. And like, in completely different time periods, you know, like there was the guy who accessed the Akashic records. That was like, when was that? Like in the 40s, like 30s or 40s or something like that. And then it came back around again, like in another generation of people. And so I think that, yeah, I agree with you, Leah. I feel like this is a little bit of like a fishbowl simulation that we are existing in.
Yeah. I think when we talk about things like, I don't know, it is a turnoff a little bit for people who have come from a religion or maybe have been traumatized in some form of spirituality. When we talk about like spirits in that way or angels or things like that, that's like kind of, fantasy vibes. I feel like that can be like a turnoff, but I'm interested in data and I'm interested in science and I'm interested in things like that. So I'm not super open, I guess, to that side of it yet. I'm hoping that I will heal enough to where I'm not just like rejecting all of those things simply because God's not real to me, you know, the Christian God.
Yeah.
I've always been curious about reality and time and things like that. And so I just wonder if this is like some sort of tool to access the other side, if you will.
Yeah, it is.
Bringing it all around to other worlds and, you know, because there's like multiverse, there's all kinds of stuff and the universe is so big. So like, it's absolutely possible.
Mm-hmm. But I think religion has it all wrong. I think organized religion, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Because there are, and if you like the science and you like the data and you like the proof and that type of stuff, like there's data and studies and proof and all of these things that like they also use mushrooms in the Bible and It was a practice that was used thousands and thousands of years ago in religion. And all of these lessons are the same. God is love. God is you. Mm-hmm. God is me. God is everywhere. Love is the answer. Like, all of these lessons are the same. I think they're just wrapped in a different way with religion, as it's used as like a fear-based controlling tactic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I would read the Bible now and read it from a very different lens, because I'm not afraid of hell, because we're already in hell. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, that doesn't scare me. Like, you're not scaring me, but now I know like how to create heaven in my mind, and that's what I'm going to do. And if it means taking psychedelics to do it, like, I'm going to do that. I'm just mm-hmm. not going to subscribe to the way you think it is. I'm going to do it for myself. I'm going to do it my way. And I did kind of get spiritual, and it scared me a little bit, because I was like, oh my God, it's happening. I've been fighting this my whole life and it's happening.
It's happening.
But so different.
It's very, very different. The energy behind it, the way that it feels, it's like there's a trust there in that surrender. That's not giving up control, but it's like just having faith that like, we don't have all the answers and we can't control everything. And mm-hmm. it just feels good to know that, like, that's what we were talking about in the car when we were saying, like, do you think we live in a simulation? Do you think that psychedelics are like showing us what's behind the green curtain, you know, and the Wizard of Oz? Like, mm-hmm. there's some, it's like when you know that that's the case, like, there's some good that comes with that, because you're like, oh, we have no control. This is awesome. I can live my life and be happy and do what I want, and I can't change anything. And I think that there's a different way of looking at it that's not so great, where it's like, oh my God, we have no control. There's nothing we can do. But I just think there's like a happy medium when you're like, you know what? I'm okay with this. I'm just going to live my life. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. No expectations, and I have a great life.
I sincerely believe that like psychedelics thins the veil. I think that our logical brain. Okay. So if you think about the concept of sight, we aren't actually seeing physical things necessarily. We're just seeing light being reflected off of stuff. And then our brain is trying to make sense of it, and it makes sense of it in any way that it can based on our own experience. So, like little kids, like really little kids, a lot of times will like see some really freaky things, and they'll like see ghosts and spirits and fairies and like really interesting entities. And they will come to their parents and tell them like all of this stuff is happening. And their parents are like, oh, it was a bad dream, or it was just your imagination.
Or they'll be like, don't tell people that.
Don't tell people that. But like, I think that young children have like a thinned veil because they have less life experience. And so they have less to try to make sense of it. Like, they're seeing things, their brains can't actually make sense of it. They can't relate it to anything else they've ever experienced. So they're able just to say what it is. And then like our logic brains, like, you know, like when that weird thing was like stuck in my room, I was like, I think the energy is off in my room. I don't know. I just can't sleep. And it took someone who can actually like has a thinned veil to see it. And they're like, oh yeah, what you're feeling is real, because I actually can see it, because I can see through that veil. And I was like, okay, that's really freaky. I'm glad I don't have those special powers. Like, I don't want to see that shit on the regular. But like, that's the kind
of... I don't think they're scared though.
No, that's the kind
of... I don't think people who have those are scared.
No, she wasn't. And like, that's the kind of stuff I see when I'm on mushrooms. Like, I can pick up on what I'm feeling. I can see it when I'm on mushrooms. But when I'm not on mushrooms, I just feel it. But yeah, I think like we're living in a very narrow dimension of what reality is. Like, our view is like super narrow. And
send me that podcast.
Which one?
What, the one the Rachel was
from?
I'll totally listen to that one. Send me that one too, Rachel. That sounds interesting.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we all want to hear it. I love Justin Trussell's voice too. His voice is so like raspy and calming.
Really?
It's so raspy. I said this in the last episode we recorded. We talked about Justin Trussell, and I'm like, I love his voice so much.
Yeah, I don't understand, because it's not soothing.
I love it.
Have you guys seen... it's not. He kind of sounds like he broke his vocal cords at some point along the way. Yeah. Have you guys seen The Midnight Gospel?
No.
Oh, it's on Netflix.
I tried to get you to watch it one day after.
Sorry. You all need to go watch it, because if you... It takes pieces of his podcast and puts them to... He has really intense conversations with people. Death, you know,
childbirth,
drugs, all. Yeah. And the last one is a conversation he had with his mom before she died. And
I cried so much.
Oh my God, you guys. Okay, it will give you, it's so good. It's
people will tell you you don't need to watch them in order.
You should.
But you don't have to.
There's a story.
I think
you don't have to, but there's a storyline that goes with it.
There is.
And it's a cartoon.
He worked with Netflix and everything to do like animations, have like a little story about Clancy is Duncan in the actual thing. But I think you'll all really love and appreciate it. And
I love it.
Yeah, the conversations are just so good.
Yeah.
So, and it's trippy.
It's so trippy. You know?
It's very trippy.
It's like one of my favorite things. So. If I like take an edible and I'm like unable to human, I'll just like put the Midnight Gospel on just to have going on in the background.
To do that.
That's a good idea.
It's a good
next time.
Time
you do your bedtime routine.
I know. I need to do it. I need to get to bed now.
I know.
I'm hitting a wall.
Well, we have hit almost an hour and 45 minutes. I think this would be a great place to wrap up.
Yes.
So first things first, where can our listeners find you ladies on the interwebs? They want to listen to your podcast and interact with you guys.
Our podcast is See You on the Other Side, and how fitting for everything in this conversation today, right? Because that word, that has so many meanings and layers to both of us in the healing process and in our lives and in psychedelics.
Yeah.
So podcast is See You on the Other Side. Instagram.
See You on the Other Side podcast, and our TikTok, because we couldn't fit podcast, it's See You on the Other Side pod.
Yeah. TikTok is a weird world.
I'm not on there at all.
That's where we're like the most popular.
You're doing great.
We are
doing, and it's random as fuck.
It is random as fuck, but we have been doing well on TikTok.
We're doing good on TikTok, so I'll take it. I'll take it. All right. That's about it.
Thank you guys for meeting with us. And Rachel, it was so nice meeting you.
Yes.
It was nice to meet you too.
Please hit us up.
And thanks. call me.
Call us.
I will. thanks to our listeners for being a part of this extraordinary episode. We've delved deep into tapping into the transformative power of psychedelic trips for healing trauma. And so until we meet again, cheers to new horizons and endless possibilities. We'll see you guys next time.
Looking for a safe place to deconstruct? If so, I have the place for you. We have a Facebook support group, and if you're not in it, you should absolutely be in it, because there's a lot of amazing conversations happening in this group. So if you are wanting to be in a community with others who are in the same deconstruction process, find us on Facebook, Cheers to Leaving Support Group. You can also click the link in our show notes and it will take you to that page. You can request to join, answer the questions, and become part of the conversation. We're looking forward to seeing you there.
Thanks for listening to Cheers to Leaving. We are seriously so glad you're here. Follow us on Instagram at Cheers to Leaving. Our sound and editing is by Cameron Smith. Please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe and share with your friends and others who may be deconstructing. You can also email us at cheerstoleaving@gmail.com with your stories about leaving evangelicalism. See you in 2 weeks.